Well, hello everybody and welcome. We are Lizzie and Justin from Third Space, and we are back here again for another week of Turning Towards Life. This is our 398th week, and I want to say welcome to you, Lizzie, and to me, and then to all of you who are with us. Circles and circles of people listening on podcast or watching on our website or YouTube all over the world, and we're so glad to have you with us, whether you have been with us for 397 previous weeks or maybe you've just stumbled your way towards us. Very often, Lizzie, I know, because somebody will recommend this to someone else or forward an episode to someone else. So welcome to all of you. We are heading towards our 400th week, and it seems like a good time to say that on Sunday, the 8th of June, 2025, if that's when you're listening, which is 2 weeks from the day that we are recording this, we are gathering for Turning Towards Life 400 live event. It's in the afternoon UK time, 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. UK, and then all of the various different times around the world. It's going to be on Zoom, and it's an opportunity to come and play your part in 400th recording, to meet one another, to meet us, to do some learning together. We are very, very excited about it. And if you would like to join us, the easy way to do that is to go to turningtowards.life/400, just the numbers 400, turningtowards.life/400. And you can sign up and join us, and we would love to see you there. And we're also gearing up for the beginning of the first season of our Turning Towards Life Live, which is going to run every month over a 6 month cycle and then repeat. And if you want to find out more about that, turningtowards.life/live, it's all very easy to find your way, and we'll put those links in the show notes. And as normal, we have, as usual, we have a wonderful source, like a wellspring or a trailhead for our conversation that Lizzie, you've chosen, which I'm excited to talk to you about. And hello.
Thanks, Justin. So we have a piece by the really wonderful Tina Sederholm. So Tina is a poet and a stand-up comedian and a writer and an all-round wonderful person. Tina, if you ever get to listen to this, I hope you can feel my admiration for you, my gratitude for you. I've followed you for a really long time. And Justin, weirdly, I was just in our local bookshop once, sitting in the poetry section, noodling around, and Tina's book was there, and I got a signed copy of her really wonderful book called Everything Wrong With You Is Beautiful. And I thought, how could that title not be for me? That sounds excellent. And it really was and is a really beautiful poetry book that sits right in my kind of current things that I read. And it's been there for a really long time because I reach for it often. Really funny and wise and deep and illuminating our kind of ordinary messed upness and grace, loveliness. So I really love Tina. And I get her newsletter. So this was a piece in her newsletter. And the context for this was that, as I understood it, Tina was talking about this kind of quite commonplace, maybe spiritual teaching about gratitude and how we are asked many times to just be grateful for everything, and how that is a really wonderful path to really receive our lives and to be grateful and to love what is. And she brought this next passage in the context of there being something more than that that suddenly arises, that there's a kind of eruption of what she's calling yearning that is seemingly in opposition to gratitude in some ways. And it really made me reflect and think. And as I was thinking, I was thinking, this is a Turning Towards Life thing. I think it will help us unpick this. And so anyway, this is from Tina's newsletter, and it's called Always Yearn, this little section of her writing. And it goes like this. Yearning is divine discontent that fuels us to keep expanding. To yearn is to live. Our desire is what gets us up in the morning, ignites our curiosity, gives our lives resonance. Do not be disconsolate when you feel a strong sense of yearning. It's an invitation that says, there is more, there is more, there is more. The universe is constantly expanding. Why shouldn't you? Yearning is not a problem to be solved. It's an energy to be explored. Three useful questions to start your own conversation about yearning and desire. What do you want? More, what do you long for? Most of all, when I do not have what I long for, how can I cradle myself through that rough edge?
Thank you, Lizzie. Thank you, Tina. It's quite wonderful. It's called Always Yearn. Always Yearn. Yearning is divine discontent that fuels us to keep expanding. To yearn is to live. Our desire is what gets us up in the morning, ignites our curiosity, gives our lives resonance. Do not be disconsolate when you feel a strong sense of yearning. It is an invitation that says there is more. There is more. There is more. The universe is constantly expanding. Why shouldn't you? Yearning is not a problem to be solved. It is an energy to be explored. Three useful questions to start your own conversation about yearning and desire. What do you want? More, what do you long for? Most of all, when I do not have what I long for, how can I cradle myself through that rough edge?
Thank you, Justin. As you were reading, I was just feeling the quality of longing for myself and how it seems to me in my life that I really do have to put myself in places where my longing's allowed to present itself. And I don't know how many people feel this, but I imagine quite a few people do, where sometimes even knowing what I want in a restaurant from a menu is really, really hard, or where I want to go when I have time to go on a date, where would I like to go and what would I like to do feels hard. So I think recovering a sense of longing is a really big and beautiful path. And to have this invitation from Tina to say that our longings, our wants, our yearnings are divine, and that they have this quality of, to me, like directionality in them, like that they are to be trusted and welcomed, and they're invitations to something more. It's an invitation for me to kind of believe myself in a way, and to make space for that to be able to erupt, for me to find that there are places that want to be followed in my, and it's so easy for me not to feel that. And I think that's why this thing struck me, because I do spend so much time and have such a dedication to kind of straightforward everyday gratitude practice and receiving the world just as it is and being present to what's here and really being in connection. And I need this invitation. You know, I need the kind of the more invitation. I need the, well, what is it that your heart is kind of beating for, that you kind of haven't got language for yet, but you need to sit quite still and feel what that is. And so I really want to take this in and be wondering about my expansion and my moreness and what is calling to me, and then actually believe it and do things and tend to it, rather than try and gratitude my way out of it by being with what's here only, but allowing there to be that as well as, and what else is there that's calling to me other than what's already here and that I love. And I have longed for this, and now the longing has turned into gratitude for it being here. And now what else is here and what is calling to me feels a very beautiful and big path that opens up. It's also quite mysterious and quite intangible as well. And it feels like I need a bit of quiet and attunement or something to be able to even know what this is.
I recognize in myself, Lizzie, too, a sort of familiar orientation towards setting longing or desire aside and pursuing, if I'm going to pursue anything, pursuing gratitude or gratefulness. And I think that pattern really is shifted a lot in recent years. It suits a sort of childhood orientation that I had, which was keep everybody else happy, make sure everyone else is okay. For various reasons, it seemed obviously to my child self that the best strategy was to set my own desires to one side so I could do that. And I remember feeling that my own desires and longings might themselves be dangerous. If I were to bring them too much, they would rupture relationship, or I imagine lots of people have that. And then of course there are many, many people for whom desire and longing and want comes forward first in their personality. And I remember all the, you know, how ridiculously judgmental I was of people like that, which is just a self-esteem boosting thing. But it, and what you're saying, it prompted me to think about how gratitude, if we mean gratitude in the sense of agreeing to what is that, and longing as in something else is yet possible, my heart longs for something else. Of course, they can belong together. In fact, they belong very well together. And that one without the other somehow is a shadow of itself. That to be human is to live in these polarities. And it's a mistake to lean too far into one side or the other. And I think it's easy to take up gratitude as if, you know, as sort of very fashionable to have gratitude practices if you've got a spiritual practice. And I think that's wonderful and real and true and very necessary. I mean, look, I'm breathing, I'm here, they've got ground to stand on, gravity is holding me down, there's a whole universe. Yes, but if we take that on as if it was somehow going to be an escape from the tenderness of being alive or the difficulties of being alive, like it's some kind of bypass, we've really missed something very important. And this very excellent source from Tina reminds me that it's very often in our longing, and I'm glad that she distinguishes between want and longing, because they're not exactly the same thing, that in our longing is very often a key to something very particular to us that we're really here for, like what we're sensitive to, that we long for, mm-hmm. tells us something about ourselves. And I think that our longings are the things that are still there when we get our wants satisfied. Mm. You know, I want this and I want that. And if I'm in the position where I can have that want satisfied, if it's a want that feels life-giving and is, you know, like the experience that we're left with after having the want fulfilled might still be this yearning. And that's where we're being pointed. And whilst you were talking, I thought about trees as a model for this, that trees seems to me like, if you find a big old tree, trees don't get caught up, obviously, in the cycle of stories about, oh, that one's got more than me, I ought to be competing with that one, and, you know, I need this and this and this. But they never, ever stop unfurling themselves towards the sky. That's what being a tree is. Like, it seems to me that trees are expressions of this energy to be explored, this yearning for, to open and to reach. And I wonder what it would be like, this has been, I think, my practice, to grow the roots of gratefulness. Here I am, my life is just as it is, whatever that is, and I cannot deny that it is the way it is. And that's, for me, is the agreeing to what is. So on the one hand, to do that. On the second hand, then, to tune into yearning, knowing that it might never be fulfilled, that the point of it is not that I get it, but the point is that the yearning for, and very often for me, it's something like mountains occur very often in my feeling of yearning, like yearning to be close to mountains, that can be like the tug into life that keeps us alive and stops us from tuning out. Just because we've got deep roots doesn't mean we should tune out. And if you have one without the other, the most eloquent thing I can say is something really important is missing.
I'm just feeling again, I felt this so many times, I'm recognizing in my life, just in the tenderness of yearning and the kind of vulnerability of, so this last line that Tina says, most of all, when I do not have what I long for, how can I cradle myself through that rough edge? I think this word cradle points to the vulnerability of it all, because there's something like young and vulnerable that arises in wanting something and saying, yes, that is what I want. That's what I yearn for. That's what I long for, is that. And in that, as you're saying, there's no guarantee that that is going to arrive. So it's almost like we have to become able to tolerate and to live with the vulnerability that we, and maybe this is why it's hard for us to long for and yearn for things, really, because it's too vulnerable to say, I would love this, and then chances are it won't happen. So how do we learn to cradle ourselves right there and say, it's okay to want and for it not to arrive? It has, like you're saying, it has its place, whether it comes or it doesn't come. This expansion, which Tina says, it's an energy to be explored. It's like, if I could treat it like that, rather than something to be squashed or met or had in some way, but that I could really welcome it as life force and directionality and me kind of wafting myself in a particular direction in my path of living. To learn to be with that tenderness. It's what's coming up, Justin, is the longing that before I had my children, the longing that I had for them, and that there was no guarantee that they were ever going to arrive and they were going to come. And it was a long journey. And it was like I became a master of the art of being with the vulnerability of wanting, and it may not come. And it's really hard work. So when she calls it a rough edge, I'm like, yes, it's a rough edge. It's not like it's not an easy thing to long so deeply for something, someone happening, something, and to be in that longing for a long time. And it causes all kinds of, I don't know, ripples in gratitude, you know, but it really does matter that those things do live side by side. Because I know what it feels like as well to be in the grips of longing, in the grips of yearning, and that taking up every single piece of life force that I have had. And then I'm missing all of my life as well. So, you know, when you were saying about those of us who just have the longing and the wanting as kind of forefront in our personalities, I think in that scenario, it's also very possible to keep wanting and wanting and wanting and wanting and miss our whole lives. You know, to miss everything because we've been wanting. And each time we arrive at the wanting, it wasn't the thing really that we wanted anyway. So I'm still in the same predicament. That there's more. So I think it's such a kind of fine distinction to make between this invitation of allowing that yearning to be here. But I do think without the gratitude next to it, and as the kind of, in some way, the context of it, it's a brutal existence. To keep wanting, and sometimes what we want happens and sometimes it doesn't, but always wanting and feeling like there's more also has the perils in it for me of the underlying lack that wanting is coming from. And actually the biggest feeling of wanting and wanting and wanting for me in my life has been there's something missing. So if I'm not addressing the something is missing feeling with a gratitude practice, and all I'm doing is wanting, wanting, wanting. I can feel it now. It's so uncomfortable in my chest. And I feel like I did that for so many years, the kind of galloping towards things. And then I arrive there and it's never as good as I thought it was going to be. It was almost like the wanting was a better experience for me than the having. So that was really kind of alarming to me. I was like, oh my gosh, this keeps happening. I keep wanting and I keep thinking this is the thing. And then I get there and I'm like, I still feel ridiculously uncomfortable in myself, actually, really. So what's going on here? So I'm really appreciating this next-to-ness of what we're calling gratitude and really receiving life as it is right here now, what we have, being a necessary partner to longing, a necessary partner to yearning. Otherwise, it just feels too, to me, like too painful. Like it's hard for me to kind of bear the feeling now as I re-encounter it. Of, oh, I thought this was going to be the place. It's not the place. I thought this was going to be the person. It's not the person. Like continual disappointment. Because I think I was one of those people that just is like at the forefront is longing, at the forefront is wanting. And I would try and follow that a lot. And then wherever I went, there I was with whatever lack that was actually, rather than a fullness of being. I feel like there was an emptiness that I was trying to fill up with life. And it wasn't really the longing and the yearning that Tina's asking us into. It was the kind of perpetual wanting, thinking something's missing, but not really addressing the something's missing feeling, just keeping on seeing if the wanting could fulfill that. And it couldn't. So until I stopped and actually addressed who I am and what that was, that feeling of emptiness. And that's not like a one event thing. I think that's an ongoing thing. The wanting would never fill the hole, basically.
Very taken, Lizzie, by the distinction that you're making between a wanting that fills a hole, something that feels like it's missing in us, and a yearning or a longing that has a different kind of tenor to it. And this language that you're using about gratitude being a kind of receiving of our lives, I think is very powerful. Because it's very easy to think about gratitude as a kind of like a judgment we make. I ought to be grateful here. Which sounds like I ought to be happy with my life no matter how it is. And I think framing it as a judgment is incredibly problematic, because somehow it sounds like it might be asking me to set aside something, some kind of hurt that's really important or something that didn't happen that really needs to be honored. And instead, if we frame gratefulness with its sense of something being full as what happens when we open, I found in a poem by our friend Rosemary Wotola-Trummer, Lizzie, that we might bring at some point, about opening the doors in our back. Like if you could imagine all the life that's come already from behind, like all the ones who came before us and the whole history of evolution on this planet and everything and everyone who had to survive so I could be here. If we can open and feel that flooding in, then it might be possible to feel more of a fullness in our lives, which is not the same as, oh yeah, I'm cool with everything that happened, which I think is the shallow understanding of what gratitude or gratefulness might be. And as we become more full, it might then be possible to find something beyond the emptiness that we're trying to fill with our wants and find the yearning that's more like a tree reaching for the sky. Which I don't think if a tree could speak to us, my sense is that the story there is not I'm reaching for the sky because something's missing, but I'm reaching for the sky because this is what I yearn to do. That's different. Mm. And in what you were saying, it seemed to me was implying that while we orient to our lives as if there's something wrong and missing in me that I have to fill, we're rarely going to get in contact with the deeper yearning, that which I'm really called to unfold into like a tree, because we're trying to fill ourselves all the time to make up for something. And that's why receiving our lives is so important. And then, certainly this is true for me, it turns out that there is a connection between what I found myself wanting when I felt empty and insufficient and my deeper longing. The truer longing are often connected in interesting ways. So I have often found myself wanting, much more earlier in my life than now, but wanting particular kind of closeness with people. Like I would want really close relationships, you know, sort of an enormous amount of intimacy and contactfulness in relationship. And if it wasn't there, I would feel something's missing. And I would often try and fill it in unhealthy and unhelpful ways to try and get it. And then if I did get it, it never was what I thought it was anyway. But when I allow myself to feel full enough, what I can feel is that there's a really genuine kind of yearning in me, a yearning of closeness to life and closeness to the world and closeness to what is everywhere, a kind of wonder and awe at being in the world. That if I can tune into it is enormously energizing for me. It doesn't have the energy of I have to get. And Lizzie, if you're not like in close enough relationship with me, there's something wrong. And it becomes much more like, oh, I have the capacity here to really pay attention. I have the capacity to really be present. I have capacity to be generous your way. I can bring myself into contact with life. And it's all fueled by this yearning to be, not to tune out. Mm-hmm. Of my life. And that's like the primary longing. The secondary, like I want, because there's something missing in me, or I'll be okay when I get this from you, is like a shallow, it's like a shallow version of the deeper thing. Mm-hmm. And I for sure want to live a life of that kind of yearning. I want to be called into engagement with life. I definitely do not want to tune my life out because I've somehow gone, I'll agree to everything that is, and now I don't have to be or do anything. Like it, and this is when Tina says it's divine discontent. There's a sense in me that it is right that we feel that the way that we could participate in completing things. And it's a sort of like it's got an ethical dimension to it. Like we're here to be up to something. We're here to play our part. Mm. in this world. Let our yearning fuel us with the energy and attention and wish to come into the world and participate in it in whatever our unique way is, rather than trying to escape it by getting the holes in me filled or by tuning out.
Yeah. I'm really appreciating this distinction between like how we turn up in relationship, whether we're turning up wanting things to be filled or whether we're turning up with something to be contributed. And somehow in the contribution, I feel like this word creativity comes to me. Like when we both arrive in our fullness, the creation that gets to happen is spacious and creative rather than bogged down by all of the stuff that gets kind of triggered between us, of you wanting something in me that I don't feel I can give you, or you coming here with a load of needs that I just don't know how to fulfill because you're complex and I'm complex. And so this kind of inner work of being someone who's filled up with life and who's receiving life and who has like a bountiful inner world or something. And then I come to you with my bounty and you come to me with your bounty. And then we go, well, what gets to be made here? That's the rare conversation for me. And I love that when that happens in my life, where we're both coming to the place of wondering what's here and what gets to be made between us and what's a shared purpose and how do we make manifest? How do we make things? You know, how do we actually make things gets to be the primary question. And how do we play our part in the world and make our contribution rather than be in a personal wrangle the whole time? And of course, personal wrangles are part of the path, and I'm in them all the time, but it really is a beautiful thing when we can come into relationship with our bounty and our gifts acknowledged and welcomed by ourselves that we might give them in a context that matters. So I'm feeling very, very grateful for this passage from Tina and the way that we can speak of this creative field that's really possible between human beings, and that we can all be sure that our yearning has a place, and that this kind of bowl of gratitude that it can sit in also really matters at the same time. So I'm really grateful for the conversation, Justin, and grateful for you, Tina, if you're ever listening. I'm going to try and email Tina and see if she wants to listen. Thank you, everybody, for being here as well. And we hope to see you maybe in actual human form on Zoom in a couple of weeks' time on the 8th of June. We'd love you to come and be with us and see how the 400th episode of us unfolds. So thank you, everybody. Thank you, Justin. And we'll see you next week.
Thank you, Lizzie. And a reminder to all of you, if you want to join us on the 8th of June, head over to turningtowards.life/400 and maybe we'll see you then.